And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Well, I want to talk to you a little bit more about that, Dr. Sandler. I just want to tell people our flashback, our by-request flashback will be coming up in a few minutes. And that was emailed into us by a listener at PHS at philhenryshow.com. And we're all, you know, we're also going to be reading some more email tonight. I got some more great lines from the show that I saw at sweetfeatheryjesus.com. And we'll tell you about our poker tournament. We've got celebrities that we're hooking up. Now, when I say we got celebrities that we're hooking up, understand that I'm not, it's not like I got to go out and just find any celebrity. The ones that I want are the people that, like, have listened to the show and have been friends of our show for a long time. And we're trying to reach a lot of them. Many of them are in prison. Many of them are doing time. Anybody got a problem with that? You got to come through me. I'm kidding. But, I mean, you know, let's face it. Many of the celebrities, many of the actors and actresses that enjoy our show are currently in jail. And I got to wait, you know, till they, I got to talk to their parole officer before we can have them do a poker tournament. However, I think they'll be out. Most of them will be out. It just seems that they're all coming up for release at the same time. Around May 27th at Bicycle Casino in Bell Gardens, and the buy-in is $200, so that probably eliminates most of you guys, right? Huh? As soon as I said that two bills, you all go, well, hell, I can't. $30 entry fee? Is that going to kill you, too? The money goes to my friend's place. So Dr. Jim Sadler here, a child psychologist. You were talking about a young boy that you've been working with, right, Doctor?
Well, yeah, Phil, and he was very, very disturbed. I spent an awful lot of time with him, and it was a classic case when I first heard of it, of sort of a paranoid or a paranoid schizophrenic syndrome. If you're familiar with schizophrenia, you know that there is the, at times, the depersonalization, the disintegration of the personality, so that you cannot... you're hearing voices, for instance.
Right, seeing things?
You're seeing things, yes. And I spent an awful lot of time with the boy. His name, I'll give you his first name, is Henry. Not Hendry, but Henry. And it was named after his grandfather. His mother is at her wit's end. One of the things that the child told me was that he saw dead people.
He saw dead people.
That's correct. In other words, he would describe how the individual looked and how they died. And again, I put this down. My first diagnosis was of some sort of schizophrenia syndrome. I have decided to put this down in some form of a screenplay. Not because I want to compromise this young man's treatment. I don't. Not because I don't want to treat this young man. I do. But because it is a fascinating study. And it is a study of a boy who is so convinced, and I've treated a lot of schizophrenics. I have never, ever treated a schizophrenic who at times is very rational.
This is a kid, right? A young boy?
That is correct.
How old would you say he is?
He's 12 years of age. I was going to say no more than 12 years of age, because at times it seems as if he's much older. And, you know, my question for you, of course, would be, do you think there is a market for this kind of story?
A market for this is a story that you've written about a young boy, and this is based upon a real event.
This is a real person, yes.
And, all right, that he is a little boy who sees dead people.
That is correct. It is a symptom of a syndrome.
Well, what makes this kid so original from any other schizophrenic?
Because of the rationality. because of the rationality. There would be no story, Phil, if there was not the rationality of this child. In other words, he's not a raving lunatic. And he is completely rational.
All right, so this kid is completely rational, except he says he sees dead people.
That is correct. And he sees them often when we are conversing. Now, I've treated a great many schizophrenics, and I can tell you that when the personality begins this periodic disintegration, there is no rational thought that commences. You cannot carry on a rational conversation. And by rational, I mean where that individual is outside of themselves, focused on you. And yet this young boy can do that.
While at the same time he says he sees dead people.
Yes. I wrote up a treatment for this because I was in touch with an entertainment attorney friend of mine by the name of John Emanuel. He said to write up what is called a treatment, which is basically a description, and that they would look at it, and if they found it to be a saleable story, they could commission a script. And then
deliver it to a studio.
And then deliver it to a studio. First, find me an agent, or John would represent it. But I am having quandaries, because this is a young boy who's very sick, and I don't know about making money on it.
All right. Let me just put you on hold for a second, Doctor, and ponder what you've just told me here. What a way to start the show. This guy is treating some kid who is a schizophrenic who sees dead people. He wants to write a movie about it. Now, I want to ask you a question, because I don't know. There was a flick about a kid who was nuts, wasn't there? With Bruce Willis? And I would ask Dr. Sadler. Dr. Sadler, I want to get you back on the line for a minute.
Yes.
Are you familiar with the movie? What was the name of the movie, Wayne? Sixth Sense, right? Are you familiar with the movie Sixth Sense?
I am not, no.
That was a movie about a boy who was seeing things as well, and there was a doctor who treated him.
Well, it's not about a child who saw dead people.
I think it was, yeah. I never saw the movie. The one movie that I saw by M. Night Shyamalan, is that the guy's name? Was the, I didn't like it, Unbreakable. But the movie he did...
Well, first of all, this is a story, and it is completely original to me. No one else that I know in the profession has encountered a case like this.
Well, but I'm telling you that there was a film about a boy that saw dead people, and the psychiatrist that was treating him was himself dead.
Well, in other words, what?
In other words, this psychiatrist was also one of the ghosts or one of the dead people that the kid saw, but the psychiatrist himself didn't know it. See, he'd been shot and didn't know he was dead.
All right. Obviously, it's a fantasy.
Well, yeah.
But mine is based on a true story, and I would say to you, how old is this film? Because...
What was Sixth Sense? 2000?
Because I've been treating this boy since about 1999. And, of course, the first thing that I'm thinking is...
Well, did you tell anybody about this?
I might have. And if that's the case... Obviously,
you might have a lawsuit.
I might have a lawsuit. Yeah, if that's the case, I don't know.
Did his mother go to somebody and talk to someone?
Well, she was not a very she wasn't a very communicative woman. She seemed to be a very distraught.
And I'm told the movie came out in 1999.
All right, I've been treating that boy since before 1999, from about 1998. I've treated him. So it is literally impossible that film could have been made without my input or someone overhearing me talking about the case.
Because you were treating and are currently treating a boy who sees dead people.
That is correct.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We got the flashback coming up. I'm going to go into our flashback here on the Phil Henry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler joins us, talking with us about his, this is our weekly psychiatric case in review. This is a 12-year-old boy who sees dead people or is having some kind of hallucination that, very reminiscent of the movie Sixth Sense, although Dr. Sadler says that's kind of funny. What if a lawsuit comes out of this show? He says the movie The Sixth Sense had to have stolen its material from his case file. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
And now it's time for Steve Deal's Exotic World of Wild Animals Minute. And welcome, and this is Steve Deal. Welcome to our Exotic World of Wild Animals, and I've got with me from the New Haven Zoo, Tom Bowell. Tom Bowell. Tom, how are you? I'm good, Steve. Thank you. And I got to get it out of the way. Your last name is Bowell. Is that it? Yes, it is. You get a lot of kidding about that? Oh, you know, from time to time, people make a joke, you know. Especially when we moved last summer, we moved down from Boston. They said, well, it's the Bowell movement, you know. Yeah. I'm sorry, I got to laugh at that. I understand. It's very funny. So your name is Tom Bowell, so let's get that out of the way. It's got a funny, weird name. And Tom is the head zoo. You're not the zookeeper, are you? Well, in a manner of speaking, I am. I'm the head zoologist, head biologist at the New Haven Zoo, yes. All right. And what animal do we have with us today? This is a... Oh, look at him. This is a roadrunner. A roadrunner? Yeah. You mean like the... that thing? Well, in a manner of speaking, yes. A roadrunner, huh? So, in other words, if I... I'm not going to see a coyote come down here with some Acme equipment or anything, am I? No, you're not going to see that, no. Steve, the roadrunner is generally indigenous to high desert areas in the United States. So it does live in the desert, right? Yes, it does. Okay, and can he run real fast? Well, funny thing about the roadrunner in the cartoon, I guess, is what you're referring to, is that it?
Yeah.
That animal I've never seen fly.
It's not an animal, it's a cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. The roadrunner can fly. As a matter of fact, the roadrunner will run, but occasionally will take to flight periods of up to 30 seconds at times. It can fly as high as, 50 to 100 feet. But generally, it likes to stay close to the ground because that's where most of its food source is.
The roadrunner, huh? Tom Bowell is with us from the New Haven Zoo. And we were having a couple of laughs, his last name. And the reason why I'm laughing, Tom, is we had a guy last week from the San Diego Zoo. Do you know Jim Scumbag?
I do, from a lot of meetings.
See, he's got a weird name, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, I guess, you know, we never think about it when we're meeting, of course.
Well, I just, as a layman, it's funny that all the zoologists in America seem to have funny names. But anyway, so it's a roadrunner. Is that what it is?
That's what it is. This little guy here can get up to about... 10 pounds, and
can he outrun a coyote? I guess everybody in the audience wants to know that.
I seriously doubt if he could outrun a coyote, but he can certainly take to flight, and that's the thing that the roadrunner, as I said, people don't know that about the roadrunner, but it can fly.
Do coyotes eat roadrunners?
Oh, yeah. It is a fowl. Coyotes eat those kinds of creatures, but I don't know a lot about coyotes. I just know about roadrunners, you know.
All right. Well, anyway, that's Tom Bowell, and Tom is from the New Haven Zoo. Sorry we're having a little bit of fun with your name, because it's pretty weird. Anyway, thanks. This has been Jeff Deal's Exotic...
I thought your name was Steve.
Yeah, you're right. My name is Steve Deal. Sorry. Steve Deal's Exotic World of Wild Animals. Although, if I had your last name, I'd probably want to forget it. Do you ever want to do that?
On occasion, yeah, I do. I want to forget my last name, because it's a really sick name.
Steve Deal's Wardrobe by Jungleland and by Banana Republic. Serving yuppies since 1961.
Someone peel that.
All right. Thanks a lot. There is. Okay. We're going to do our flashback. Here we go, folks, on the Phil Hendry Show. Thanks very much, Steve. You're welcome. Okay. Now let's. Take a look at our flashback by request. And, oh, hold on for a minute. David G. Hall is on. David, yeah?
You know, there you go again with that over-the-head humor, see? This is what I'm talking about. It's way over people's head.
What is?
Tom Bowell from the New Haven Zoo. I mean...
Well, you know what? I don't care if it's over there. If it's over their head, it's over their head. Okay?
What do you... You know what? You're right. When you were in my office the other day saying you wanted to retire from radio, you're right. I think you should.
I didn't want it to come out in that...
I'm not saying that you're gonna. I'm just saying It's not a bad instinct. I think you need to take those highly polished humor sensors of yours and stick them on a really funny show, like Teachers.
All right.
All out.
Yeah, you're out, all right. All right, it's time now for our flashback by request. This comes to us from a guy named Phil, only with two L's. Hey, Phil, love the show. Can you play the bit where B. Arthur and some other people are playing in some sort of soccer match? Your show is a hit down here at my high school. Keep the laughs coming. Phil, with two L's. Okay, Phil, here it is, dude, from, I believe it's from September of 2004, almost 2 years ago, and it is B. Arthur and the soccer match.
Luke Eric and I'm on the right side of the door at George Bush.
Larry Wallon, Larry Adiste, Larry Wallon, 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 Larry Wallon,
Maria Shriver, Uraga, the Choco the Clown, Soupy Sales.
Maragadeo Sinatiriara, no. Soupy Sales, and it's easy to Los Angeles, but Ted Kennedy and Rumdere Scott Peterson. La Rouvre of Rivicatina.
Daisy Duke.
No, not the Daisy Duke. John Schneider. Darian Moroy. He's in the middle of the tunnel. John Schneider. David Hasselhoff. Dan Rather. Michael Landon.
Gene Stapleton.
Tony Danza. Richard Simmons. Danza. Dan Rather. Michael Landon. Dan Rather. Michael Landon. Dan Rather. B. Arthur. Rudy Valley, Glenn Miller, Rudy Valley, Glenn Miller, Rudy Valley, Glenn Miller, Woody Herman. The Osmonds,
Manolo, I got a tease in about Gary Coleman.
Hello, I'm Gary Coleman.
Lonondorir Gary Coleman.
I'm just here because the cat said come on in and rap, and so I don't know what's going on.
Lonondoro Shishinobe Sasendra Vilonta.
So I'm going to split now.
Lonondore Galanta Yafata.
Edgar Bergen. Joyce DeWitt, Barry Williams, Joyce DeWitt,
Barry Williams, Joyce DeWitt, Gary Coleman.
Phil Hendry Show.
There it is, our flashback. I like how B. Arthur stole the ball from, who was it, Woody Herman or something? Dr. Sadler.
Yes, Phil.
We want to get back to talking to you about this interesting case of you treating a young boy who sees dead people. Now, you understand that there was a film about this.
Well, I can tell you that if there was a movie about it, that movie is fiction. I'm living it. And I will also tell you, if there was a movie about it, I believe it's appropriated the ideas I've got for the movie. I'm living this right now.
All right, we'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dr. Jim Sadler returns on the program. We're talking about a young patient of his who sees, is hallucinating, seeing people who are dead. How does he know these people are dead?
Phil, in one case, he described to me a woman who was, what he said, had been hit by a car as she had been on a bicycle. And she was standing near the car. And, of course, I was taking notes on this. In another instance, he described seeing a girl, you know, at a girl's funeral. He saw a little dead girl under a couch, or not under a couch, under a bed, who handed him a videotape. And all of these things...
He handed him a videotape?
Yes, that he said showed a video of her of some kind. And all of these things I've documented. And all of these things I have written down in my own hand. I have mailed this to myself as a registered letter so that I can have proof that these are indeed events that I have witnessed.
But you haven't seen dead people.
No, but I'm telling you, I know a young boy who has.
All right. And you know that I told you last half hour that there was a film that was made about this by another director, and it was about it. It's not a lot of it sounds exactly like it. I mean, there was a kid.
Well, let me interrupt you there. I think that it is commonplace among many people who write for a living to, you know, to say, well, you know, that's already been done. You know, and
but it has. It has. I mean, the film, The Sixth Sense, has been done.
Well, that may be, or it may not be. I'm not. I have no interest, you know. I don't believe, personally, that I don't think it's possible. This is something that
the movie's been done. The movie, The Sixth Sense, has been done. It's been made.
What the script that I have written is a surefire. A script that I think any Hollywood studio would be interested in. I know it'll win an Academy Award. I know,
but the movie that was made did win an Academy Award.
Well, that's you know, good for that movie. I find it very difficult to believe. Let me just tell you that.
Are you telling me that I imagined seeing ads for this?
I'm telling you that in hindsight, it's easy to say, "Oh, you know what? I already thought of that." That's all I'm saying.
I'm not saying that I thought of it.
No, I understand you're not. My movie is completely original. It is.
All right, Dr. Sadler, let me, if I could.
No, I'm not going to discuss whether or not what I have seen with my own eyes.
Sir, I'm not contesting that. I just want to tell you, I'm not contesting one bit if you've been with a kid who sees dead people. What I'm trying to tell you is a movie was done about a little boy that sees dead people.
All right, let me ask you a question. Was the boy, you know, in other words, he saw people that were dead after an accident?
Yes.
Well, I don't care what you say, because this is an original movie.
In the movie, the boy sees people who are dead. He sees a woman who was burned in a fire, for instance. He's at a school play, and one of the dead people is talking to him that only he can see, and the lady was burned in a fire because there'd been a fire in that school.
And the boy's talking to the burned lady.
Yes.
Well, it doesn't matter, because everything that my movie is completely original. I have in my film, for instance, the little boy sees in an old building in Philadelphia people hanging, because they used to use the courthouse in this old building as a place where people were hung if they were horse thieves.
That's in the movie.
I don't care if it's in the movie. Are you telling me that scene's in the movie?
Isn't there a scene in Sixth Sense where there's people hanging there like they're from the 18th century?
Well, I don't care. I find this really outrageous. The reason why I came on your program is to tell you about this case and not to be told that there's another movie, because my film is original.
If your movie is original, how can you have a scene of people hanging just like they did in that? You got a guy, the kid sees a...
Yeah, it's not a guy, it's a young boy, Mr. Henry.
I'm sorry.
It's not a guy. It's a young boy who has paranoid schizophrenia.
You don't believe for a moment that he's really seeing ghosts, do you?
He's a young boy, a young blonde boy.
Kid in the movie was blonde.
And what is your point?
What is your point? I mean,
My point is, I've seen this with my own eyes. I'm treating this young man. And if you tell me one more time that there was a movie done just like this with a blonde kid and people hanging, and did someone die on a bicycle?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, huh? You are a liar. You are a liar. You are a liar. And I hate you for what you're doing to me. And
Mr.
No, it's not Mr. either. It's Doctor. But that's okay. What you're saying here now is so wrong and so egregious.
Look, Dr. Sadler, I'm just telling you what was in the movie Sixth Sense. You can go on.
Well, I don't believe you. I think that you are a lying piece of excrement. Huh? How does that strike you? You like that?
You can call me any name you want. I won't have you on the show anymore.
That really hurts.
But the fact is, the movie's been done. Sixth Sense with a little blonde kid, a little girl is dying, gives him a videotape.
Bull crap.
Yeah? Why don't you go down and freaking rent it then, man?
Rent what?
Sixth Sense.
Why would I give my money to some bastard that has stolen my idea? If, in fact, this movie exists, why would I give my money to some bastard that stole it? Why would I do that?
Look it, pal. You might want to see it.
And it's Dr. Sadler. It's not Mr. and it isn't Pal. Okay, Jackie Gleason? And I hear you're about as big, too. Yeah, I bet you that got you, didn't it?
I don't give a crap. I just realized I'm talking to a baby. A big, fat, stupid baby.
I happen to be a doctor of psychiatry. If you want to see the degrees, come on down here, okay? And you want to know what I think of having a degree? I'll wipe my rear end with it and sign it and give it to you. You can take it home and put it on your wall. Because I don't care. I'm telling you that I...
Well, I don't care either. I don't care about your story. I don't care about you. I don't care about nothing. Get out of here.
What's the matter, man? You getting all tired of doing your radio show? Want to become an actor?
Punk! Whoever booked that guy and let... I think I know who.
Me.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I got a script, and it's about a kid that sees dead people. Really? Well, there's a movie that was already made. No, it wasn't. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Coming up, we do have Ted Bell, who will be talking with us. What does this guy want now?
Friends, mate.
Want to hang the phone up on me one more time?
Oh, and one more thing I want to tell you.
You want to hang the phone up on me one more time?
If you'll just let me say that I will name you as a party in the lawsuit. You know what? We'll just shove it.
What a jackass. I think that guy's about as much of a psychiatrist as you are, bud. And as a matter of fact, I think compared to him, you're freaking Sigmund Freud.
Who?
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Phil, I was just calling in to ask you about Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. And Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes and their baby? About the baby?
About the baby? About their kid?
What?
What are you asking me, man? Are you having a... What are you doing, bong hits already? What is it, 7:45?
Yeah, it's 4:20. Is there some kind of a problem with that?
What do you mean it's 4:20? What is this, Stoner Day? Oh, God, it's Stoner Day. I forgot.
Yeah, today's 4:20. See, that's a bong hit sound effect.
Yeah.
I stole it from Comb Over Boy.
Anyway.
Take me out with a bong hit. That guy is so radical.
All right. What is it that you want, man?
Suri Cruz is the name of the kid. It's also the name of the city. And I wanted to know if you had commented or if you're familiar. And I'll hang up and listen.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What?
Hang up and listen, you jackass. What do you mean Suri Cruz is a city? You talking about Syracuse?
No, I'm talking about Syracuse, New York. It's in upstate areas. Yeah, man.
Upstate New York? Syracuse, New York. S-Y-R-U.
Yep, that's how they spell the kid's name.
Bull crap. The kid's name is Surrey, I thought.
Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's no Y.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, obviously only someone who is, you know, has long ago given up rolling them just jamming it into a pipe is my way. Obviously, I'm the only kind of guy who would make a mistake like that. So my apologies, Mr. Hendry. Sorry I bummed your night. Jesus.
Later.
Later and greater. I'm talking and toking. Check it out. Blah, 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 blah. See? Because I'm sucking it through my ear.
Fuck off. All right, so that's another crew. I was going to say cruel. I should say cool name. The kid won't take any crap for being called Surrey. With the fringe on top. I already hear the jokes. Anyway, I think it's a cool name, and more power to him, man. I know a guy, his name's Johan, and he's all grown up. So, see, you know, how do you think he feels about that? And he don't call himself Joe. He calls himself Johan. And like, well, don't you want to be American? Or is that just, yeah, I mean, sure I do, but the name's Johan. And your parents were Krauts? Yeah, something like that. Oh, okay. All right, coming up, we got Ted Bell about Spanish speaking, not on the job, but in his own home. And that's where he draws the line. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The overnight ratings for Tuesday night sucked a tree full of squirrel. Bad, man, real bad. The overnight ratings, we held 74% of scrubs. That's about as bad as it gets. I don't know, it's 76%, something like that. And what bothers me and what bothered a lot of members of the cast was, you know, the week before, School Olympics was a good show, great show, perfect, exactly the way the show ought to be. This past show, with the greatest of respect to the great creative team we've got, couldn't have sucked more. And I'm telling you, when we did it, I didn't quite know what the hell it was I was doing. And when I saw it, I could see that I didn't know what I was doing. The only person I thought that looked funny at all was Kali. I thought she was a riot with that whole cabaret act number she did. She's freaking funnier than hell anyway. Everybody looked good, but I looked like I didn't know which end was up, man. And I didn't quite know what the damn show was about. Online golf tournament. Now, wait a minute. Hold the phone. Here is a show about teachers in a school. There are a million and one relevant things, not all of them dark and moody and topical and newsy. I'm not talking about that. How about a kid puking in the corner? That happens. How about an apple got stuck in the apple machine? How about, you know, there's a million things that happen in schools. Then what are we going to see? An online golf tournament? Now, here's why I get so upset. It's got so much potential, this show, and the cast is fantastic. The creative team, fantastic. The writers are great. The writers are fantastic. What drives me out of my mind, and I'll never change it. It's never going to change. I understand that. I get it. I know. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm just saying. What drives me nuts is when they bring in 68 million people from the studio and the network to pick over every little word, every little scene. In other words, folks, for instance, I could say to you, I love you, okay? By the time the words I love you go through all those people at the studio and the network, when they come out to you, it's go suck on a fat man's thigh. In other words, and you say, that's not I love you. Oh, yes, it is, but it's a funny way of saying it. Oh, okay, but I didn't mean it to be funny. I wanted to, well, you need to kind of, I'm going to say it again. This is 2006. Fox has raised the bar. Let's get in there, baby, and let's get with it, huh? Come on. Let's not wring our hands over this word, that word, or something else. Let's get in there and let's start just
take off the freaking governor, man. Turn off the, you know, whatever it is that's holding anything back. I don't know what the hell it is. Forget about what anybody's going to think. I'm not talking about saying poo-poo and doo-doo. I'm not talking about scatological stuff. I'm saying, let's go. If you've got to be a little dark, be a little dark. It's already dark enough with Dion in there. And Sarah makes it, you know, all the more mocha mix. But the fact is, let's go, baby. Now, my understanding is that the network likes the show. They're behind it. They really want it to succeed. This is the way to get it to succeed. But frankly, my opinion, my review, we're dead. After Tuesday night, dead, 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 Red.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.